All right, welcome back. FF Dynasty 260 proudly presents episode 22 of the Redraft Podcast. Special episode this week. This is strictly a Super Bowl primer podcast. We're going to talk all things Super Bowl to get you ready for the big game on Sunday. My name's Pat Loftus. You can find me on Twitter at @Dynasty_Pat. Got Seth and Mike tonight. So Seth, say hello. Tell the people where they can find you on Twitter.
Welcome back, everybody. I am the at-home dad. You can find me on Twitter at FF the at-home dad. And it's a little bittersweet that we're doing the Super Bowl primer right now because it means it is almost the end of this entire season. So a little sad, but also really fun to be able to do this.
Yeah, this was a fun 22 episodes. I don't know. We've been doing this for almost 10 months, Seth, I think.
Yeah.
Ish, we started doing this. So it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for joining and listening, everybody. And we look forward to a great offseason and providing you with a heck of a lot more content. But right now, let's talk Super Bowl. Mike, say hello. Tell the people where they can find you on Twitter.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us again, guys. You can find me on Twitter at MikeSports22. Got a good Super Bowl show for you guys and plenty of offseason content. So make sure you stick around.
Definitely. All right. So we're going to do a little kind of a DFS style play here. Mike and Seth are going to do a quick little draft to just make things a little interesting between us. I'll provide some commentary for their picks and they'll talk you through who they're picking and why. This is a site that I don't use, so I don't know much about it. Seth seems to be the expert here, so I'll let him kind of set it all up. What site we're using, format, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, sure. So it's the Draft app, which is run through FanDuel. It's one of the really great DFS apps, especially if you don't want to be in, you know, one of the DraftKings or FanDuel big ones where it's basically you versus, you know, 10,000 other people. These are really great for head-to-head matchups and, you know, smaller matchups where it simulates a drafting experience where every week you get to draft a new team. And the way that we got it set up, we're going to draft one quarterback each, two running backs each, and two receivers, which could be a tight end or wide receiver. It goes just like a regular snake draft. So whoever gets the coin toss and picks first will have to wait for the other person to pick twice before they can pick twice. The whole set of players as quarterbacks, running back, and wide receivers are available. And it's honestly, like, during the season, it's a great way to just kind of get another data point because they give out the projections and stuff like that. You can see who people are kind of high on based on who they're drafting. So yeah, that's the rundown. It's draft in a nutshell.
So who's picking first? Or do I get to decide?
Oh, the system decides. I don't have that much power, Pat.
I'm just like, I'm going to be like the two old men from the Muppets up in the balcony, just providing commentary and really just poo-pooing on everybody that you pick.
All right. So, Mike, go ahead and jump into the draft thing. Guys, we're doing this live. So we're going to have 30 seconds, and we're literally going to just go right into it. So, Mike, you lucky jerk, you get to go first.
I actually would rather have gone second and back to back there, but right. Oh, well.
Don't screw this up.
So you got a couple of minutes to kind of run down. So just to give people a quick heads up of what the projections are, they have Goff actually ahead of Tom Brady at 19.8 and then Brady at 19. And then after that, there's a drop off to Gurley at 15, Edelman at 14, Cooks at 13, Woods at 12. Michelle becomes the next running back at 12. So they give you a pretty good setup there. And then just one last kind of piece. I forgot. It's a half point PPR, not a full PPR. Half point. You got that? Got that, Mike?
Got it. That was a lot.
Yeah.
Half point PPR.
Half point PPR, which kind of ruins my strategy here. But –
It's stopping you, baby.
I'm a little worried about with this first pick because of how inconsistent he has played. But I'm going to go ahead and take Gurley, hoping that he has that great game. And the knee holds up for one more game. Super Bowl, you give 110%. I don't care if it hurts. You're going to go through it. You're going to fight through it. And this may come back to bite me. It may be a CJ Anderson game again. But the upside is just too much to pass over with the first pick.
Yeah. I'm going to go running back first also. But I am not going to go with Sony Michel. I'm actually going to go with James White, who should have been the MVP when the Patriots beat the Falcons. We'll talk more about that later perhaps. And then I'm going to go ahead and take who I think is I think the wide receivers are kind of crapshoots here, so I'm going to take the quarterback that I think is going to be the better quarterback and go ahead and take Brady.
Now, see, when we were doing this before the show, I had the opposite picks. I was picking second. I went White and Edelman back-to-back because I know those are the two guys Brady's going to rely on and go to. So to counteract what you did with Brady, I'm going to take Edelman here, the first pick I got, because White would have been the preferred choice, but you snatched him from me, so I'll take that. And then I'm going to go a little skeptical here, and I'm going to take Michelle, hoping he falls in the end zone twice at the goal line.
Wow.
See, I'm going to do the backup plan and get James Devlin, who we all know is their power running back.
Seriously?
Yeah. No, not at all. No, yeah, no, that's a joke.
I would just, why don't you go ahead and just mail me your money if you're going to make that pick?
See, I'm going to go.
Well, where's my half?
I'm fair.
I'm going to go and go big hitter here and go Brandon Cooks. And I'm going to go with Robert Woods also. I'm going to take both of the LA guys because they're going to have to do something there.
Yeah, I agree.
One of them is going to catch a massive pass, and I want that big play on my team.
Yeah, well, I agree. And speaking of big plays, I am going to go ahead and take the shell of himself, Gronkowski, because we saw last week against the Chiefs, he showed up and, you know, had back to the future moment and had, what, 6 catches, 92 yards and a touchdown, and the critical drives at the end, or the critical plays at the last drive of the game. And then since you took Brady and I need to take a quarterback, I'm going to go ahead and obviously take Goff, because to take a backup would just be foolish. So,
you sure?
I mean, if you're that, you know, unconfident in your team, Seth, I guess I could take Hoyer and hope Brady gets hurt, but that'd be kind of cruddy.
And I'm going to go with the guy that was, you know, one of the most punishing running backs of the past 2 weeks. And I'm going to go with CJ Anderson. I mean, he did have a slight illness on Friday, but CJ Anderson it is.
It's the Super Bowl. He's going to play. So you're not sitting this one out.
No, of course not. No. Especially now if you are a little sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's – wow. That took all of like 4 minutes. That was impressive. Good work, guys.
You only got 30 seconds of pick.
Yeah, you got to knock that stuff out. You got to know two teams to pick from. So
that's also how you lose a lot of money on draft. If you like, because I put like $20 in at first, and like you do like $1 games, and you're like, oh, this is great. This is great. This is great. This is great. I love this. And then like an hour later, you're like, damn,
I blew the
$20 go.
Yeah, exactly. Gotta have discipline with these DFS games.
Yeah,
it's brutal. A lot of fun. Makes things interesting. It's a bummer that this is the last one of the year. I was joking with Seth earlier. I might dabble in a little baseball just to kill some time until one of my drafts. I don't know. So back to
blasphemer.
That's a whole different conversation. Mm-hmm. All right. So just looking at this, I'm surprised, Seth, that you only went with one pass catcher from New England to pair with Tom Brady.
Yeah. I went with the number one pass catcher.
Yeah, I'm just surprised that you know you didn't go with even a Gronk. Try to you know just a little double up there, a little double dip there, and you know.
I got a question. I got a question for Seth here. Had the picks been swapped and you was picking first, would you have taken White over Gurley?
Because
that's what I argued, but I was really hoping to go second and third and stack White and Edelman.
I
get the majority of the Patriots offense that way.
I feel like if – so, again, this goes back to, like, DFS strategy. If we were playing, like, 10 games, I would probably have White over Gurley in about six of them. Because I do think that Gurley's questionable health makes him a question mark. And James White is just such a vital part of that passing offense for Tom Brady. And if Sue and Arnold can get a push up front, then
it's gonna be a lot of checks.
Yeah, like they're gonna be a lot of little dumps to White. So I mean, just again, go back to the Falcons Super Bowl that they won. Like James White, he had 14 catches.
He also led the team in targets this year. So it tells you that Brady, when things go sideways or even when they're not, he's the first guy they go to.
Right. So I think I would have James White in probably 6 out of 10, but I also would hedge my bets a little bit because if Gurley is fully healthy, I don't think there's anybody on the Patriots team that can stop Gurley. Like they can hope to contain him, but they're not going to stop Gurley. He's just such a, you know, multiple threat type of guy. He can run inside. He can run outside. He can run the zone. He can run the inside zone, the outside zone, the stretch zones.
He can run everything and anything.
Yeah, like he can do the screens. He can do. You can put him out into space and do little dump offs. You can give him little Texas routes. Like he literally can play in all facets of the game if he is healthy and 100%.
Yeah, that's ultimately why I went with him over White, because I just think the upside's too good. White may be safer, and Gurley may have another, what do you get, like 5 touches against the Saints kind of game. But I kick myself if I lost because I picked White over Gurley, and Gurley goes off for 200 scrimmage yards and 2 touchdowns and a win.
Yeah. So. And that's what I mean. It would literally be like, okay, I'm going to pick White, and then the very next time I would be like, oh, what am I thinking? I'm going to go Gurley. And then the very next time I'd be like, no, I gotta go White. Like it makes sense. And then so that's why
the two little voices in your head arguing back and forth.
It literally is like the devil and the angel, and it would just be one and then the other one and then the other one and then the other. But also in terms of like pairing pass catchers, I really thought about taking Gronk instead of Woods, but I feel like. Even though I don't think the Rams are going to have like a prolific passing day, I think both Cooks and Woods have the ability to catch a pass or to have a play designed for them to be open to catch it and score. Yeah. Whereas Gronk, he's scored in the past because he's a freak of nature. I don't think they really draw up plays for him to be like the Gronk of old, you know what I mean? Which is kind of weird to say because he's not that old. Like, he's pretty old for, you know,
his body
for what he does. His body's old. Yeah.
So I'm you know, looking at the two teams, you know, Seth, your team offers by far the safest floor. You know what you're getting in White, Brady, Cooks, and Woods. Anderson is your kind of boom or bust type. Mm-hmm. Player. Well, Mike is all high ceiling because Gurley could go off for 200 and 2 scores. Edelman could catch 15 passes. Michelle could fall in the, you know, all those guys could go off. And I personally, I like the Rams in this game. I think it's going to be a shootout, and I like the Rams. Let me just take a quick look here. Depending on where you're looking at, if you're going to place any wagers, I'm seeing New England as a 3-point favorite. So I would take the Rams and I would take the over. I'm seeing an over under 57. Give me the Rams. Give me the over. And in terms of your little bet here, give me Mike's team.
Oh,
well, I just lost then. Next time anybody bets on me, it goes sideways.
Mm-hmm. I'm betting on Mike's team too then.
We'll make it a clean sweep.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's betting on Mike's team right now. The draft app has him, you know, edging my team out by seven points. So
we'll see. When you took Brady in the second, I just skipped on the quarterback the rest of the way because it's, you know, you can't take a second one. So it's like I could just punt on that. That's why I was, when you took Brady, I was like, oh, well, that made life easy because I honestly think both QBs are going to be similar. I think both guys are going to be over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. So one versus the other, minimum. But when you took Brady, I'm like, okay, I'll stack up on the flex spots, which is why my score came out slightly higher than yours did.
Yeah. See, even though I took both of the Rams receivers, I would be hard pressed to say Goff goes for 303. Like, I just I think Goff has played well. I don't think he is. I don't think they're going to win because of Goff.
No, I don't either. But I think he'll get there between, you know, normal game script, and if they get into negative game script, he's going to have to make things happen. Even if it's just check down stuff to Woods in the slot or Gurley or whatever else, he'll get there. I mean, last year both QBs went on for what, 450, 500 yards, and you know, both these offenses are better than what they were last year.
Yeah, I agree, but the only thing I can hope, and I actually heard this on ESPN radio this morning on my way into work. They were saying that Brady's completion percentage is 23% worse when he's pressured through the interior of the line.
That's a very specific stat too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, and the Rams have the two best like interior defensive linemen. Like those two, if Brady does not get, like, he hasn't been sacked. I know for a fact he hasn't been sacked in the past two games. I think somebody said that, like, he hasn't been like hurried in the past two games, like something like absolutely ridiculous like that. Like, I can't even fathom that. Like, everybody knows what the Patriots' weakness is, and yet it's like nobody like uses it against them.
Yeah, well, their offensive line coaches, what's his name, Skarnecki, I believe, is one of the best in the business, and he gets the best out of no-name guys. You ask people, can they name two offensive linemen for the Patriots? Hell, can they name one? And most people couldn't.
Yeah. So I mean, I 100% agree with that. But
the one spot to get to Brady is get in his face. You come around the outside, Brady will just get the ball out of his hands quick. But if you get off the snap, into the A-gap, whether it's, you know, Sue or Don on it, right in his face, that's how you disrupt them. That's how the Eagles did it last year. It's how the Giants did the 2 years they beat Brady. You got to get right in his face from the snap.
Yep. And if they're going to double team one of them, they need to run like a stunt right into that so that the one dude just literally clips the double team and takes both of those double teamers out of the way and just comes right off the, you know, the defender can come right off the other guy's, you know, butt cheeks right in, you know, a one-on-one situation because
with momentum.
Yeah, I mean, they,
otherwise they're not going to have much pressure.
Yeah, both.
I mean, unless Fowler can get something going like he did against the Saints, but
yeah, both of those interior guys can, like, they can beat double teams. But if you give them an opportunity with a one on one, like they're gonna do so much better.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited for Sue and Darnold to like. I hope they actually disrupt the Patriots.
Let's not forget, you've got two great guys on the interior there, but you also have Dante Fowler on the outside.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that ball is going to be coming out quick. I don't know. You guys probably all saw this or heard this, but they had Joey Bosa mic'd up for the Patriots-Chargers game a couple weeks back, and all Bosa could talk about was how quick Tom Brady was getting rid of the ball. And that was against, you know, a very good Chargers defense, but the Rams defense is just a notch above the Chargers defense. So if the ball was coming out quick against the Chargers, think about how much quicker it's going to be coming out on Sunday.
And that's why I took Michelle in our draft, because I think they're going to – New England's going to know that, and they are just going to run it right past Darnold and Sue, who have been consistently this year blowing their run assignments, just trying to get upfield. And, you know, unless they show discipline, that's where you got to attack them at.
Yeah, but even still, I don't know. I think the Rams defense They're good enough on paper, and they've been really good in the playoffs. So if they can, like, if they can live up to the paper tiger they once were, I really think the Rams have a chance, because you're not going to beat the Patriots. You're not going to beat the Patriots just running the ball against them. Like, you have to beat them by stopping their offensive flow by hitting Brady. You beat Brady by hitting Brady. When Brady's getting hit, he plays bad. If Brady stays upright in the pocket the entire game, the Rams stand no shot. No matter what the Rams do on offense, if Brady is upright in the pocket for the entire game, like, the Rams are toast. So they need to be able to put Brady on the ground, and they need to be able to score, like, consistently. Maybe not, like, at will. You don't want to score too quickly, because then that lets the Patriots control the clock. But you also don't want to just, like, run the ball just at the Patriots, because then you're cutting out the time that you need at some point in the game as well. So it's going to be a real fine line for the Rams offense of what they're going to do, but they just need to score consistently. That, like, almost each drive, they're going to need to put points on the board.
You hear that, Sean McVay? Make sure you're paying attention to Seth's game plan.
Yeah.
And how about doing
all you need to do is score. Come on. Why doesn't every coach do this? Just score.
Easy there, John Madden.
Boom.
So all this talk about the Rams defense, it made me think of something I saw earlier today. A little billboard material, if you will, and you guys probably saw it as well. Nickel Roby Coleman, the Saints defensive back. Was it the headlines that controversial play against the Saints? Decided to run his mouth a little bit. And walked it back poorly. He talked about age is taking a toll on Tom Brady. Is that really what you want to say the Tuesday before the Super Bowl? Do you think this guy needs any extra motivation? I feel really bad for this kid, because I think he's going to get torched on Sunday now.
See, I don't think he's going to get torched because he's their nickelback. And, like, I mean, who's going to torch him? Hogan? Like,
anybody. I just feel like if he's on the field, they're going to throw in his direction. They're going to make a point to prove that Tom Brady is not old, age is not taking a toll. Like, you don't need to give this team billboard material. And this guy went out and did it on media day, or, you know, the Tuesday before the Super Bowl.
Well, I think that's why he walked it back, like Mike poorly. Was saying. He walked it back because somebody else was like, you dummy. You know what they do in New England, where they're like, who was it? Edelman came up to Brady like, oh, you're old.
You're too old. Yeah, we're too slow. Yeah.
We have no defense, no skilled players. We suck. Yeah, well, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, those are all true statements, but
you don't need to give Tom Brady that sort of ammunition leading into the Super Bowl.
So, I mean, that just goes to show, like, what happens when you're, like, well coached and you have, like, you know, you have schemes, you have plans, you have plans in place for if they come out like this, we're going to do this. And if they're like this, we're going to do that. And if they do this, we're going to do this other thing. Like, you know, when they played the Chargers and the Chargers stayed in zone defense. First of all, have you not watched what Brady does to zone defense? Like, he's been doing it for almost 20 years. Has no one watched film of this yet?
Apparently,
like, nobody went over to, like, the Chargers, like, the week before when they're like, oh, we're gonna go to New England. We're gonna play in New England. That defense that we've been running of zone. Yeah, Brady just, like, poos all over.
Yeah, when they were watching game film, they did the Bird Box challenge at the same time. So,
yeah.
Clearly it worked out well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and they'll find a way to attack Mikal Roby if they wanted, whether it's, you know, some kind of design play to get him on a pick play or whatever else. If New England wants to go after them, they will. And honestly, with Talib and Peters, that's where I would attack.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite thing is Mikal Roby is from Buffalo.
Yes.
Yes.
And he included that in the
trash talk.
Yes. Like, yes. He was like, he included it. I'm from Buffalo, so of course I hate Tom Brady. Like,
did he say that while he was jumping through a table? Was he jumping through a table when he said it?
I believe he shotgunned a Bud Light and then put his own body through a table. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. All right. Let's get to
Bills Mafia.
Of course. All right, let's get to outside of the game. It's probably the second favorite part for me is all the crazy little prop bets. And I think we went through, I mean, all this, there's probably 50 or 60 of them out there. We've narrowed it down to the five that we like to talk about real quick, and then we'll get this wrapped up. But the first one we want to talk about is the over-under for the national anthem. Gladys Knight is singing the national anthem this year. The over-under for her time has been set at 1 minute 47 seconds. I'm going to take the over. I feel like the national anthem has historically run over the time. So I'm going over. What do you got, Mike, Seth, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm going to go over purely for the fact that, you know, every year when somebody's singing it, they know it's a big ordeal. It's in front of, you know, tens of millions of people, and they just want their 5 minutes of fame. So if they could stretch it out there and, you know, and the whole, they'll do it. So give me over.
It depends on how many pips she has with her. No?
What?
No. Gladys Knight and the pips?
Oh, okay. No. I thought I was the old man in this group. I guess it's Seth.
Is it bad that I caught that reference from a movie?
Not at all, Mike.
I'm going over also. It's your time to shine. You know, let it ring. Sure. So I'm going over also.
Yeah. Speaking of age, that's a professional segue right there. Speaking of age, the next prop bet here is how many times will they discuss Sean McVay's age? For those of you that don't know, Sean McVay is 33 years old. So how many times will they talk about Sean McVay's age? The over-under is set at 1.5. I'm taking the over. This is going to be a constant thing. It has to be.
It's too bad John's not with us tonight. We could ask John what it was like to be McVay's daddy. But, you know,
we're going to get some nasty messages from John on that one. Thanks, Mike.
Love you, John. But I'm also taking the over. I would have taken the over if this was 4.5, 5, because I think this is a storyline that they just want to nail home. That and also, it's going to be brought up against Belichick. It's going to be brought up against Edelman. The fact they played against each other, what was it, college or high school? It's going to be brought up against the fact that Brady is, you know, almost a decade older than he is. Yeah. If they're not talking about how creative he is and how everybody's hiring a quote-unquote a protege of McVay, right? I mean, Kingsbury had a cup of coffee with him. All of a sudden, he's an assistant coach one time with him.
Right. You know?
His name will get mentioned. I'd be willing to take over under 1.5 before the end of the first quarter. They will just – it'll be talked about.
I'm going to go – it's going to be over 1.5. Just them comparing McVay and
Belichick. Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go as far as saying there will be a graphic.
There'll be a couple of graphics.
There will probably be two graphics. There'll be a graphic comparing McVay and Belichick, and then there'll be a graphic comparing McVay and current players on the Patriots.
Exactly.
So I'm going there's going to be over graphics of 1.5 graphics on just McVay's age.
And you watch, there'll be a graphic comparing, you know, Belichick getting fired by the Browns in the late 90s, and then there's Sean McVay and his junior high school, you know, dance or whatever. It's like, see what's going on at the turn of the century? So that'll be up there at some point, probably.
I'm trying to do some quick research here. I'm curious to see what's the higher number, Sean McVay's age or Bill Belichick playoff wins?
McVay's age, but it's probably like within 10.
That's
because remember, you only get the Patriots always have the first round bye, so they only get, even if they make the Super Bowl, 3 games.
You know? Yeah,
I'm gonna guess it's close, but
I can't Google this fast enough. It looks like Belichick has 30 playoff wins. If I'm looking at this right. So it's close, but yeah, I thought that'd have been, man, if Belichick had more playoff wins than Sean McVay was years old, it would have been great. All right, back to the prop bets here.
Hold on. I got it right here. It is okay. 39 playoff wins. Oh, 39 games, 29 wins.
29 so wins. Okay.
More games, less wins.
Okay.
Just with the Patriots. Yeah. Overall, he has 30 playoff wins. He got one with Cleveland, apparently, somehow.
The last time Cleveland went to the playoffs. Got it. all right. The next one here, true or false, will a non-quarterback throw a touchdown? And, Mike, I'm going to let you go first on this one because you have a different answer than Seth and I. I'm curious to see why you think this way.
Well, I don't have high confidence in this, but I'm basing it off of last year we had the Philly special, which was successful. And then we had the Patriots knockoff version, which Brady turned into a statue and couldn't catch squat. So if we had two pass plays that were thrown by a different by someone other than a quarterback last year, what's Sean McVay going to run up? And what's Josh McDaniels going to run up? I mean, these are two of the more creative young minds in football. I mean, we're just, especially because in last week, the Patriots reportedly, you know, they put 8 plays in the game plan, you know, 4 hours for a kickoff just to, you know, oh, this is a good, they'll scratch this up and do it on paper and doodle it. And okay, we're going to run that play we designed 3 hours ago, Brady, you know. Not a ton of confidence, win a better ton of money on this, but I think we might get something special, you know, whether it's, you know, Robert Woods coming around on the end around like a Philly special play and he throws it to Goff, or it's to C.J. Anderson coming out of the backfield, or hell, it may be an offensive lineman who catches the pass. I think Andrew Whitworth caught a pass at some point this year. So,
the wagers will a non-QB throw a touchdown.
Right. But I'm saying if they have the mindset to get Andrew Whitworth a touchdown, right? And then was it the Rams who faked the field goal at the end of the half in one game this year and they end up throwing it to the offensive lineman or the long snap or something like that? Something crazy. I still think just because of that, there'll be some kind of non-QB touchdown throw. Hell, maybe to an offensive line. I just think McVay and McDaniels, we're going to have two young minds who want to outdo each other, and somebody's going to come up with something crazy. So, again, not highly confident. Don't bet your child's college fund on it. But, you know, $10 to see what happens.
Yeah.
See, I'm going to go against you using their age against them because they're like the Instagram age and they're going to be like, ew, like the Philly special is so like 2018, gross. And we're not going to see it. Like it's going to be like, we did that.
If that's the reasoning why, then both should be fired. This is the bleeping Super Bowl, for God's sake. Oh, well, it's Instagram, so we're like, you know, that was last year, so we're going to move on to something different. But just, no.
I think
nice try.
They will run plays like that. I don't think any of them will be successful. I think they have, like you said, Mike, both, very good young offensive coordinators, offensive head coaches. I think they'll draw up some plays like that. I just don't think they'll be successful.
And definitely not for a touchdown also.
So Seth and I both agree that we don't think a non-quarterback will throw a touchdown. This one might be my favorite one out of all five because this has just been – you watch a game on CBS, you get Tony Romo, who's been just a great, great commentator, and the over-under here – is the number of plays that Tony Romo calls correctly. And they've set the over-under at 7.5. And Seth – oh, you want to go last, okay.
No, that's – that Mike just threw that
Oh, Mike put there. That in there. Okay.
I'm going to go first here.
Yeah, Mike, you go – or, yeah, Seth, you go first because you have a different answer than Mike and I. So go ahead.
I'm going to go under. And I'm going to go under only because – I feel like there's enough people out there telling Romo to stop calling the plays beforehand. Even though, like, I feel like people have been saying this all season long and he keeps doing it, I feel like with the Super Bowl, somebody's going to be like, okay, Tony, you need to just let the people watch the game. Like, and not try and be like, well, they're obviously going to run this play. Oh, here come the Patriots doing this one right now. Which, by the way, if he was this good at calling out what defenses were doing when, you know, when he was playing,
here we go.
He probably would have done a little bit better for the Cowboys.
I'm just happy he's finally going to a Super Bowl.
Wow.
That's
good. That is rich.
I'm going to disagree. I'm going to take the over. I think that what people like to hear, they like to hear Romo getting these plays correct. It's just something that the people like to see. Me personally, I love it. And the game gets close. I love what he did against the Chiefs. You know, Brady's killing it. They're going to motion right, and they're going to run it, you know, strong side of the field. And that's exactly what they did. Like, I'm taking the over. I think it's going to happen. I think people are telling him to the exact opposite. Tony, keep doing what you're doing. And especially if the game gets close, like it was against the Chiefs, I mean, he might just start calling out every play.
Yeah.
He might actually be down in the huddles on the field, right? Just yelling out what's happening.
Right.
Did you guys see what Wade Phillips said about how he's going to
go ahead, Mike.
He's going to have an earpiece with Romo. What are they running, Tony? Okay, let me run a guy. So that's right there why it's going to be over 7.5. Yeah. But here's why I think it's going to be over 7.5. Romo didn't get to retire on his own terms. He had the back issue. Dak came in, and then there was the possibility he could go sign the Texans or whatever. But he didn't want to be that guy who tried to squeeze at the last little bit of money possible. Just wanted to go on his own terms, one-time franchise, be recognized as, you know, not a Hall of Fame quarterback per se, but a fan favorite, etc. He takes this announcing thing like it's football still. I'd be willing to bet you, by comparison to the idiot on ESPN, Jason Witten, and the guys on Fox and everything else.
Oh, you'd be nice to Jason Witten. He's Tony Romo's favorite friend.
He's a very good tight end, but a lousy announcer, okay? We can get a mind to do a better job, okay?
Their whole Monday night show is just terrible.
Yeah.
With the booger mobile.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Driving on out of the stadium into the truck and back to Connecticut. But I think he takes this like he's preparing for an NFL game as a quarterback. So he's constantly watching twice as much film, getting twice as much info, getting into people's heads. And he's personable, so the teams are more likely to kind of let things slip to him. So I think that's why he's so into this, and that's why he's going to get over 7.5 plays. Because for him, like we said, he never made a Super Bowl. This is his first Super Bowl, and he's going to treat it almost as if he's the one on the field taking the snaps.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I just didn't want to be like you guys and go over on everything. So I was like, let me go under on this one.
Just had to be different.
That's right. All right, and then the last one, the last of the prop bets, who will be the Super Bowl MVP? I'm going Jared Goff. Like I said, I like the Rams. I think it's going to be a shootout. I like Goff for going over 300 yards. I like Goff for more than 3 touchdowns. So the Rams win, and Goff will be the Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I'm hedging my bets a little bit here and going with whatever QB wins is going to be the MVP, because that's kind of how this award usually breaks down to, aside from a few exceptions in the last 15 years. It's been pretty much like the quarterbacks. And especially with the Patriots, it's Brady's a lock, because even if Brady goes out there and throws 4 interceptions, completes 2 passes and gains 22 yards, hey, it's Tom Evan Brady, baby. Give him the MVP. So, it'll be whatever QB wins. I'm on the fence about who's going to win. I could see it panning out either way. So I'm going to hedge and go with whatever QB wins.
And that was a perfect setup for Seth.
Yeah, because you know who should be a Super Bowl MVP?
Oh, here we go again.
And for the record, I agree.
White should be a Super Bowl MVP. But instead, Tom effing Brady got it. Instead, because Brady, is the name guy. I hope that they write the record books, because I think the Rams have all the tools to win. I hope the Rams win, because I'm not a Patriots fan. But in terms of if I had to put money on which team I think would win, I think it's going to be the Patriots. And with that being said, James White is going to be the focal piece again. You know, hell, he might break his own record for he had the most catches in a Super Bowl with 14 against the Falcons. So he might break that record, especially with, again, Aaron Darnold and Namakasu just closing up the middle on Brady. So, I'm going James White. We are writing the record books. Super Bowl 53. Even if the Rams win, we need to write the record book. James White, MVP.
but White made okay after that. Remember, after the game, the Patriots gave him a $12 million contract extension, and they're a team that's notoriously cheap on running backs. So,
and unless all of that money came out of Tom Brady's MVP like bonus.
Well, he did get him the card on the trip to Disney World. Remember that. So Brady may officially be the guy at the trophy, but he knew what James White meant to that team's success.
Yeah.
So,
especially because the throw that Brady – the throw that Brady gave James White at the end of that game was not good enough to be in the end zone. James White literally needed to go past, was it three defenders to be able to take it?
And then they had to jump over a guy or lean over a guy. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So
it was the only reason Brady got the MVP is one, it's the quarterback, and two, because it was such a great comeback, and he's obviously the leading factor in the great comeback.
Not because he looks prettier in eyeliner.
Oh, well, boy. I mean, if that's what the judges are basing it on, then
now we're going down a whole different rabbit hole here. I'm going to go ahead and just stop it right there. I think we've done enough damage. We start talking about Tom Brady and eyeliner. I think we're good. I think that does it for our Super Bowl primer podcast here. Guys, let's.
Do we get to do the chant?
No, absolutely not. Yeah, you can tweet that out. How about that? You can tweet that one out.
You can write down the show sheet
all
the time.
Here we go. Here we go. Here's another one. Seth, why don't you tell the people where they can find you on Twitter, and then you can tweet out that Patriots chant. How about that?
I love it. All right. You guys can find me, as always. I am the At Home Dad on Twitter. @FF the At Home Dad. Thank you again. It's been a wonderful season. Loved being able to come on here and be able to do all this work with everybody. So really appreciate it and looking forward to 2019. So love you guys. Have a good one.
Yeah, Seth saying goodbye like we're going off the air. We'll be back right? next week.
Jeez, I thought you.
I mean,
unless you got cancer or something you're not telling us about.
It's the end of the season. It's a moment.
He's getting sentimental. Jeez. Yeah. Mike, tell the people where they can find you on Twitter.
You guys can find me on Twitter @MikeSports22. Like I said, we'll be back next week. We're going to have all kinds of off-season stuff for you. We're going to do a couple of early 2019 mock drafts and break down all kinds of interesting aspects of how to draft things. We got a lot of good content coming up. Make sure you stick with us.
Yeah, you guys have my Brady mascara running.
Oh, jeez. All right, enough. You can find me on Twitter @Dynasty_Pat. Again, appreciate all the likes, the retweets, the questions, everything, all the content that the listeners, you have helped provide us for the show. Please stick around for the offseason. Like Mike said, Seth said, I've said, we've got lots of great content coming out. So please give us all a follow. Follow the main page at FFDynasty260.
That's what it is, .com.
Oh, yeah, just Google FFDynasty260. Go to the website, find us on Twitter, follow us. We're here to help you guys out, regular season, off season, whatever you need. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and we'll see everybody next week.
See you next week, guys.
Enjoy the Super Bowl.